Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And Lord, with a prayer. The Lord, we thank you for another day. Have your will, have your way. Let your way be our way, for your way is our will. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted, Lord. And we ask you, the Lord, guide us, strengthen us. And we thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming. Blessings have come all unmerited, unseen. One more, dear Lord, just thank you for your darling son Jesus. Died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life, dear Lord. Thank you for being our God. Bless my family here in New York City, my family in Virginia, my family in Brazil, my panel family. Bless the family, dear Lord, of those who are suffering. And as we've heard today, another sad situation. But more importantly, Lord, you know, you are God all by yourself, dear Lord. And we just want to pay homage to you and your darling son, Jesus. And thank you, dear Lord. And help the suffering again that has been somehow seemed self-inflicted. Guide us, strengthen, lead us. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. And let us remember that as we enter this season, that Jesus is the reason for the season. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. And here he comes, riding up with bated breath, Cincinnati C. And in the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching. I mean, this is it's crazy, Cincinnati.
Yeah, ESPN, NFL, breaking news. Unfortunately, and with deep regret, they are reporting that a Kansas City Chiefs player, 25 years old. They haven't released his identity.
Oh, yeah. It's Jovan Belcher.
So he unfortunately killed his girlfriend, or it appears to be that way. And
yeah, it appears
he
to be
drove
that he killed
to the facility.
Yeah. Right,
and,
right. Go ahead.
And committed suicide in the Kansas City Chiefs facility. And our Sports in Depth panel and Sports in Depth Nation, we offer our deepest condolences to the family of a young lady and the family of the Kansas City player. It's just tragic, tragic.
Sad and touching. And in the words of Harold Weston, just sad and touching and just redundancy. I mean, we think back of some of the other things, the Steve McNair situation where he was slain by the girlfriend. And before we go any further, let's go and let it all be welcome into the Sports in Depth Nation by none other than Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, be welcome as you enter the Sports in Depth Nation as Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Lou Coco, will welcome you in.
Thank you, good doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here, including the return of the superstar Lady A. we are brought to you by the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is indeed the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for those kind words. Thanks so much. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. It is a Saturday sports short. And so for the next 30 minutes or so, we will be here telling you the latest happenings. And the latest is the Lady A will be joining us shortly as we talk the big fight tonight. Austin Trout, who comes in with a record of 25-0 with 14 knockouts against Miguel Cotto, who comes in at 37-3 with 30 knockouts, four-time champion, has fought over eight times in Madison Square Garden in front of over 100,000 people. Been one of the most popular fighters in MSG, New York City, and boxing history, especially here in Nueva York. But now, the story, it's the sad story. We hear of this situation. There'll be more about it. You really not so much, you know, you want to hear too much about it. We talked yesterday about the burying of the late, great Hector Macho Man Camacho. I mean, it was last week this time we were talking about how he had been shot on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, hoping when he initially got the information that he would be all right. And as we know, they're burying him today. And now we get this situation. Steve McNair had the same thing happen with him a couple of years back. With a girlfriend, you know, can we link the violence? Can we link the intensity of the game? Can we link the pressures of football as somewhat of a minute, because there is none, reason or rationale toward this kind of behavior of Cincinnati C?
I would say no. I think it's more of when you look at the tragedy of Steve McMahon now, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think it's a lot to have to do with the personal lives of these individuals, what was going on. You know, Steve, you know, he was married, had a girlfriend, maybe much younger than him. You know, who knows what's going on in these relationships, and now it's the season. Holiday season now, where these the violence amongst the domestic violence seems to go up during this time of the year. A lot of fights, arguments over money, gifts, infidelity, and I mean the list is just on and on. So I don't think that it involves the game. It's just the same as, and Rooney can back me up with that, with the violence in the WWE wrestling world. I mean, you had Chris Benoit, Elizabeth, who, you know, overdosed.
Right, I love Elizabeth, yeah.
Who was the wrestler? I can't think of his name, that she was with at the time.
You mean the boxing referee?
Well, at the time, she was with Lex Luger. She was married to Randy Poffo, known to us as, you know, the Macho Man Randy Savage, who actually was her husband in real life. But at the time of her passing, she was going with Lex Luger.
Right. And also, I was just talking to Hoopsta about it today. Probably one of the biggest tragic stories in the world of wrestling, professional wrestling, was the Von Erichs. Most of that family committed suicide.
And, Doc, for the uninitiated, for our friends that don't know, they're a famous wrestling family, Doc, the famous Von Erich family. And, see, I'm not sure of the number. I'll have to look it up a little bit later. But, like, four or five of the brothers committed suicide.
Yes.
Terry Von Erich, and a few other of the Von Erichs. I mean, I don't know if it's something that, I hate to say it this way, it kind of runs in the family, but three or four of, like, the six brothers committed suicide in the famous Von Erich family.
And
which
is
a wrestling icon in pro wrestling. They're a wrestling icon, an iconic family in pro wrestling. You know, it's funny you should mention Chris Benoit. Not to get off the subject of Doc and panel. It's funny you should mention that because, you know, 2 weeks before that happened, I was watching out with my father, and I was telling him the rundown with Chris Benoit and his famous head first dive off the top rope, which is basically his finishing maneuver. And, you know, I remember saying, you know, Dad, I'm saying, you know, Benoit basically gets a concussion 5 or 6 times a week during that particular move. I said, I don't know, but something's going to go on with him. I mean, the guy basically gets concussed 4 or 5 times a week from doing that move, where he kind of dives head first off the top rope, top turnbuckle. And about 2 or 3 weeks after that, see the crowd's tragedy with him, the wife, and kids went down. You know,
yeah,
I knew that that head trauma that he sustained 4 or 5 times a week was going to obviously do him no good.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah,
we have pulling up now.
That was his, his finishing move. You know, he
sort of his
head first.
Yeah, the signature move.
Contact with the head.
The Lone Ranger leaving the silver bullet as a calling card. The Cisco Kid is pulled up here. Cisco, you've heard about this latest lane, but we're just talking as we have ventured now from football into boxing, wrestling, and MMA. Are there any situations where we've had suicide? Cisco. I thought we had Cisco Kid joining us.
I think we probably lost Cisco at the moment, Doc. To my knowledge, I know a little bit about the MMA.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, I can't think of a similar tragedy. I mean, people have gotten obviously seriously hurt during that. I think there's been one fatality. Unfortunately, I can't think of the person who that was. I know there's been serious, obviously serious concussions and, you know, broken limbs and what have you.
Right.
That kind of goes along with the territory, you know, in the MMA world.
Hmm. But, you know, gentlemen, I'm looking at this here and at the same time remembering the Macho Man, Hector Macho Camacho.
Camacho.
Lady A. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. The legend that lives. The loveliest and the first lady of sports in depth. Sports in the Trust in God. Now, Lady A.
The great Lady
before
A.
Before I say anything, Doc, hello to my main man, Rooney. How are you, my love? Trusting that everybody enjoyed the holidays, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, you know I love you very much. I missed you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we miss you too. I mean, we miss you. The fans have missed you. Hasn't been the same. You know, she is. And the other great line that you and where you, I use it in my blog when you talked about Hector Camacho, and you talked about, the flair he brought to the game.
Yes.
The trunks. You know, his abilities, understanding the entertainment aspect and the business of sports. And yesterday, Dusty talked about in his passing how people in the neighborhood talked about how much he had brought to the neighborhood, how he picked up tabs. Hector Lavoie, who was tragically saddened by the death of his son, was bankrolled by the Macho Man, and the people in the neighborhood and the centers talked about what he did. And you, the finest female mind of boxing of your generation, bar none, and you talked about his speed. And we're looking here just for a quick minute at this tragedy, again, Lady A, a youth. Here's a young man in mid-20s. He kills his girlfriend and himself. I mean, it just in the words of another one of the many men who love you, because we all love you deeply, Harold Weston Jr., sad and touching to hear his story, that here's a young man who seems to have it all going for him, pro football player, and he kills himself, Lady A.
Yeah, you know, I guess we've talked about this a lot on the radio show about the new generation and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and it just seems as though the new generation does not have the intestinal fortitude to really get through a lot of those tough times that we have been reared to kind of learn to succumb, and it's just crazy, you know. It's a sad story, but in the case of Macho Camacho, you know, we all know he had that background, that monkey on his back he couldn't get rid of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just very sad because he's a guy who brought a lot to the sport of boxing. And Doc, hands down, you can't tell me, because I know to some degree he was your boy, he was afraid to fight people in the ring. I mean, the guy did not handpick his opponents, pretty much was out. He fought everybody, Doc. He fought everybody, you know. And he just brought that finesse and that flair to the boxing game. And it's going to be sad to, you know, to see him go. And Doc, we talked about this the last 2-3 years, we're losing all the greats. We really are.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, well, you look at the roll call this year. Angelo Dundee. Then we got Bert Sugar with us. Bam, Bert is gone. And the same month that Angelo went, we had one of the Petronelli brothers. That was three. Before we know
yeah,
it, I would love
it. How about your boy McCanty?
Arthur, the referee.
Vernon Forrest, right?
I'm just talking about this year. You know, you're talking about this year. We're just talking about Angelo, who kicked it off. Petronelli's brother. We got Bert Sugar. And before you know it, Bert is gone. Our beloved, our deep friend and comrade, Emmanuel Stewart. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Camacho. You know, you're talking to Manuel. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network, Sports and Depth Saturday Short Show. When you talk to Macho and you talk to Manuel, you're talking guys who were close to me, guys who were my friends. I remember Emmanuel in my book. He always, if he would write anything for me, you know, he would fight to me. A good friend, Melvin, always called me Melvin. I wasn't really aware somewhat of the relationship me and Camacho had until things happened. At a press conference, I stopped him for a question, and when I looked, there was a horde of media around us, and the great Dennis Smith, the director of photography of the legendary Big Red newspaper, turned to me and said, you know what, everybody's listening, but he was talking to you. And that thing where people say, you know, athletes say they don't read the papers, and I remember that at a press conference, and I may be redundant in this, and I apologize if it has to be. And Hector came in, and the star. I mean, Hector came out there. When the same people who walk in the room, they're the star. Ali, Dr. J, Hector Camacho, Michael Jordan, you know what I mean, Prince. And he said a few words, and he turned to me. He said, hey, man, he was very humble. He said, hey, man, you know, I'm a boxer, so I'm a guy. He said, but that guy over there thinks I'm special. And I had just wrote a story 2 weeks ago in the legendary Big Red News about him being special. And you know, we you're right. I mean, Hector, you go back to the roll call, Vernon Forrest. You know, another sad and touching story of a guy.
You know, in the case of Vernon Forrest, I mean, he was, I mean, his story was even more severe because you look at the fact that he was actually the victim of a crime. He's a guy who was a victim of crime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, hey, Hector chose is to people hang out with, you know, in some degree, you know, I'm not saying it's any less relevant than any story because of the people he surrounded himself with, but he's a guy who was actually a victim of a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you're right,
know,
exactly. And,
you
well,
know,
you know
and
what?
And
both cases, Lady A, in both cases, and that's why she is, and that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I pat my chest. That's why I stand up with pride. You cannot touch this crew of people I have. You cannot touch them. And, you know, they're just the best, not only of their time, of all time. And the point you bring out, Lady A, I mean, these were crimes that were committed against, I mean, they're celebrities, but they were committed against citizens.
Look at the case of Arturo Gatti. We still don't know if actually his case was ruled a suicide, but it was reopened again. So, you know, here's another guy who's a victim of a crime. Okay? And then you got the legendary fighter also involved in it with Aaron Pryor, who had great fights. Was it 2-3 fights he had with Aaron Pryor?
I think he had two fights with Alexis
Arguello. You know, he committed suicide. So
here's another story.
We'll never know.
But the thing is, how many guys can commit suicide and you shoot yourself through the heart? I mean, that's the questionnaire. I mean,
A suicide with the football player, unfortunately, that this happened right in front of Romeo Crennel, and one of the assistant coaches desperately tried to talk this guy down with this. Just, you know, tried to talk him out of this. That this happened either on or close to the practice field.
And
that Romeo Crennel and one of the assistant coaches desperately tried to get the gun away from this guy. The name escapes me, but I'm trying to figure out, wow, I mean, what a tragedy, you know, obviously right in front of people, I understand maybe one of the kids may have seen it.
Howard Wesson would say, just, you know, simply sad and touching, and it's, wow, you know, while we're talking boxing, the Cisco kid has joined us. as well as none other than Justino Baby Lois. And,
hey,
¿qué pasa, stranger? ¿Qué pasa?
What's up, papi? How you doing? What's going on?
Aquí.
Hey,
this ain't
the Latin side of sports and
hey, calm down.
Keep the dialogue down.
I gotta greet my Latina woman. What's wrong with you?
Papi. Hey, listen, don't be having all that piragua.
Wait a second. I'm not getting greeted over here. What's going on?
Piragua is midwinter. Okay. What's happening,
fellas? What's happening, guys? Well, Dusty, real quick, it's happening again, Dusty. I mean, it's a situation here. We've got another young man. The Cisco kid is laying in the wings. We've got a young man here who you kind of think he'd have it all going for him, college grad, money, professional star, kills his girlfriend, and then goes to the complex and shoots himself right in front of his coaches, Dusty.
You wonder what is in the mindset as these folks are growing up and going through emotional problems and emotional development and maturity where they cannot. In fact, I'll segue into something that happened in California just yesterday where a young man with a young child, he and his wife broke up. He was despondent. What happened? She refused to go back to him. He locked himself into his car with his young daughter and the family pet and swallowed carbon monoxide, killed all three of them. I said, if you have problems, why kill the child that's innocent or even the dog? So you don't know what's in the mindset of these people. Right here in Brooklyn, there's another couple. Just today, I got goosebumps. The dude was having problems with his wife. I mean, they were talking about divorce. He asked him about a divorce. His retaliation was he killed her and killed himself. What is the mindset of these folks? But let's get back to the college kid.
Let's not forget the situation back in the 1990s with Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth was a thief. I mean, Ray Carruth was a killer. He deserves life, if not execution. Because I saw that 60-minute piece. Real sport piece where the girl was pregnant and he didn't want the child. So she said, no, I'm keeping the child. He had two hitmen to kill the girl. And the poor guy, the baby, was so delayed of oxygen that he's now a walking vegetable. But Ray Carruth should have been
mentally impaired, the poor kid.
Right.
But the thing he
to ask for parole. But
the thing about
Carruth
is that he also had other girlfriends who came forward on that PSAVA that I also saw with Brian Gumbel.
Yeah.
I also saw with Brian Gumbel, Lady A, where other girlfriends also came forward to say that Carruth had threatened them, that they had gotten pregnant with his child, and that Carruth had basically also said to them, So there are more than one woman who has accused them of threatening lives because of their pregnancy.
Exactly.
Well, let's look at Hector Camacho too. Hector Camacho in Puerto Rico, you had at his funeral or his wake, you had his girlfriend of 25 years, and then there was another
female that showed up.
And they were fighting over his body.
Right.
Well, guys, but what's going to happen with Antonio Cromartie with his 10 babies? What's going to happen with him?
Well, he's supporting them. He has no problem.
Hold on. This ain't the boutique line here, baby. Come on, now. Let's get back to sports. On the Dustin God Radio Network, the crew is giving it to you. Hey, you only hear it here first. You hear it first, and you hear it factual on Sports in Depth. Lady A, the legendary Lady A, Melco Self-Mimp Jr., a.k.a. Little Cucko, the Cisco Kid, is a friend of mine, baby, down from the Rio Grande. Cincinnati Sea Wings and the Zusty X. No more Lois, baby. He's militant, he's armed, and he's ready to go. Fox Daily, Sports in Depth. Gang, let it flow. Continue.
He threatened the girls. The only one who didn't want to abort was Sharika Williams, and she paid the price heavily. I'm sorry to say. But let's get back to this kid, this college kid. Did you read today's sports where four college players, Hosper, I think it was, ransacked and robbed the office?
That's crazy. Yeah, I heard about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, theft, rap, a four hospital.
basketball players. Now what's going to happen to them? Expulsion? And do they go to jail? You know, what is in the mindset of people to do
Dusty, I think that in a way we got to ask ourselves, you know, as a society, what in general is being done to curtail what's going on in sports? I mean, are we that desperate to get wins and get the X's and O's out there to tell people, hey, listen, we're going to bypass somebody's, you know, prior history and their background to the point that now we're just going to go worry about how much money we're going to be and revenue we're going to generate for sports. I mean, think about it, because in a way, we are just perpetuating the cycle. You know, this is something that if you're going to get these guys, maybe you should look at more than just their athletic ability and look at their background.
But you also have to ask yourself, you have to internalize and say, would I have done that? Would I have been in that
venue? Are we going to hold these colleges accountable? Now let's say now these kids turn around, God forbid, they're in a dorm room, they're upset, they have a firearm. You know, what's to say what they're going to do in a college setting? Now they know they're done. At what level do we hold some of these college institutions accountable? Yeah, you know, we're just going to show
them.
I don't know whether you could hold the colleges accountable. I don't know. I know there was an inference somewhere of the NCAA and some other institutions saying, look, these kids get a scholarship. They don't have a dime in their pocket. The colleges generate millions and millions and millions of dollars of this football program. Why don't they pay these kids a salary? They're talking about, no, well, that has a taste of professionalism. Hey, give them an allowance. So they can, you know, because they are poor kids from the inner cities who, because of their talents, they are getting a full-blown scholarship which is over $200,000 or $300,000, where somebody else comes in, non-athlete, and he has to pay tuition of $30,000 a year. So if you want these guys to be the top players and they don't have any money, for God's sake, well, you know, pay them a little allowance to keep them balanced. It doesn't make sense, but
that
was a sad situation.
But I agree with you. You know that a major college sports is a win at any cost mentality now, Mr. Pose, at any cost mentality now. So win at any cost mentality.
Well, right, Doc, I'm going to get out of here, Doc. I got to go, Doc. Well, Doc, I got to get ready to get out of here.
Okay.
All right. Lady,
welcome back.
I'll catch you guys tonight. Dusty, I'll catch you ringside tonight, right? Ringside?
Okay.
Listen, Lady A, don't get thrown out of the match if it's not going your way, okay?
Okay, bye, man.
Don't go
I'll catch you guys later, man. All right, take care.
But when we look at athletes, I mean, you look at the Yankees, Hideki Arabu, who played for the Yankees.
'97 to '99,
he committed suicide after... you know, becoming estranged with his wife and his children, leaving him, and, you know, he was found in his house of apparent suicide a little over a year ago, July 27, 2011. So, I mean, we can just go on and on. I don't
know
if you can contribute that to the game. I mean, Junior Seau might be more associated with the effects of the National Football League and playing in this league. But when you look at baseball players, I mean, they play so many more games, but it's not as a brutal sport as playing in the National Football League, professional football, even in college ball. But when you get to the major leagues of football, I mean, these guys are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and that's why a lot of guys, when Michael Strahan was playing, he led a fight against, you know, recruiting players directly out of high school like they do in basketball.
Something like that?
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know I was there.
But you also got to remember, it's isolated in baseball, but you got to remember Denny Moore from the Los Angeles Angels or California Angels when he gave up that home run to Dave Henderson of Boston. And he became a total mental case where he beat up his wife and got into drugs and then finally killed himself. That was
nice. He was giving up that home run out of his mind, Doug.
Exactly. He could never recover from that home run because they were one out away from going to the World Series. So right. It does affect the athlete across the board. Boxing, well, Edwin Valero, I mean, this guy was a street urchin. You know, he killed his wife out of jealousy, and then he went to jail and hanged himself in a jail cell. So you have a whole bunch of
He didn't kill his wife out of jealousy. He was just crazy, dude. You understand?
No. The guy was in. Say he killed his wife out of jealousy because she left him. He said, "I can't take the beatings no more," and she left him. He wanted.
Yeah,
he was abusive.
He was abusive.
Yeah,
he was a freaking animal. Try to leave him
and then
murder
him. Yeah, and
but
and
how do you associate that with the game? I mean, that's not.
No, you don't associate that with the game. He was crazy to begin with.
Yeah, you don't know what these guys. I mean, you cannot. You know. Amateur psychologist that I'm trying to be, you cannot associate what these dudes are doing as opposed to the game affecting them other than, mind you, other than the concussions that football players are receiving that could endanger their life, their health, and their demeanor. Could we relate this to boxing? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I don't think so because if you look at boxing, you don't see a lot of suicides in boxing.
Right, that's
you know
what I'm
mean? Saying. So, and boxers are getting hit in the head all the time. So,
are they?
You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, you look at a football player. Football players are probably going. I think when it comes to football players, it's a personal thing. These guys are making millions of dollars or they're making some money. And now they can't support themselves, their family, and because they have injuries, they have head injuries,
yeah,
physical injuries. So what happens with a guy who can't support his family and he owes money and he's stressed out and
absolutely,
and
yeah.
you know and is not being helped by the organization that they play for.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
what are you gonna
make,
what are you gonna happen?
So much,
guys
so much of the money,
commit,
like
yeah,
them, they always say, "Pop, you know, if you introduce me to somebody, don't introduce me to a football player because their money's not guaranteed." I remember Eric Swan, my buddy Eric Swan, and he told me every year, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's just Saturday Sports Shorts. The gang's all here: the Cisco Kid, Mel Cosell, aka Hey Little Coco, the First Lady, Lady A. The Zusty EX in Cincinnati series. And, you know, he said, and you just said something too, Cisco, which always dovetails and heightens the intellect of my crew, which is the most intellectual for anybody around in any time or space. And the lack of support. And he said every year they would send a questionnaire around asking the players if they wanted to play on AstroTurf or grass. And overwhelmingly, the players would say grass and still.
AstroTurf,
you know what I mean? Because the maintenance and what it did for them pocket-wise. Real quickly, because we want to talk a little boxing here. And Lady A, what happened yesterday was appalling, I thought, somewhat, when the Cisco Kid live from the Affinity Hotel.
She went to another assignment, Doc.
Cisco? Oh, Lady A left us? Okay.
Yeah,
Lady A had to leave us, yeah.
Oh, she had one thing I wanted to do. I want to get back to... Cisco in on this. What I thought was how Austin Trout could come in. Cincinnati. I remember a little thing like batteries in your flashlight as a cop. But how does a cop go out without his weapon, without his radio? I'm still stunned. You know what I mean? It's a fireman leaving out his boots or his hat. I mean, how does and then maybe Cisco was too much made of this the weight thing. I mean, was Trout all right? Is this being somewhat magnified the problem he had with weight yesterday?
Yeah. I looked at the videos yesterday that I shot of the weigh-in. You guys can see it yourselves. I can send you guys a link. He looked a little dry, but it wasn't nothing serious. I mean, he stepped on the scale for 1 second. Saw he wasn't making weight, so he just took off his undergarment. I mean, Oscar's done that. Other fighters have done that in the past.
Many a times, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't think he is that serious. It's not like we had to wait an hour for him to try to make weight. That would have been a more serious situation, and maybe would have been good for him to try to lose a pound or two in an hour's time. You know how it affects you physically. So
that's just what I wanted to ask you. How much overweight he was of the physical?
He wasn't. He probably was over a couple of ounces. I mean, he just had a pair of underwears on. You know, so
underwears that weigh a pound and a half.
Yeah, right. You know, he really wasn't. And you know what's funny is that I watched the video again. He wasn't really on the scale that long. He got on the scale. They looked down because they wait a bit before the numbers stop.
Oh yeah,
so
right.
He got on there for a second, for a few seconds, and then just decided that he would take his undergarment off and he pulled a towel over and he waited right at the limit. So he wasn't really overweight, you know.
Right, I see.
So to say that.
Real quickly here, as you know, the Nets and the Knicks continue to win. They're both
atop
of the leaderboard in the NBA. David Wright signed the biggest contract in the history of the New York Mets.
New York Mets.
RG3 and the surging Washington Redskins will play the Super Bowl champion New York Giants this Monday night on Monday Night Football. RG3, the only rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL to have back-to-back four-touchdown games. And ironically, it was Washington Redskins who were the last team in the NFL, or the moniker like the Redskins, to get an African-American play. The sad news, as we told you, Belcher, a football player in the Kansas City Chiefs, has committed suicide after killing his girlfriend, went to the complex himself to do this ghastly act, remembering the Macho Man. Hector Camacho laid to rest today, three-time world champion and one of the most flamboyant and entertaining fighters of his generation. He'll be laid to rest today. David Wright's biggest comeback in the history of the New York Mets. Mariano Rivera, who celebrated birthday on the 29th of November, signed a one-year, $10 million deal. He'll be coming back with Andy Pettit. I'm waiting for Jorge Posada to come on back in the Core Four or be back there. He's the only one missing. I thought he left a year too early. The catcher, who people thought was going to stay, he's in Pittsburgh. He got a good deal. He left. Mariano was in. Other news around the world of sports. Big night tonight. Austin Trout against Miguel Cotto. Trout will come in at 25-0 with 14 knockouts against Miguel Cotto, 37-3 with 30 knockouts. And that's going to be the story for boxing tonight, as Madison Square Garden will close the year and boxing New York City-wise. But we'll have Manny Pacquiao against... Yes,
next
again,
week.
They'll do it one time. They're going to be handling one more time. Marquez. That would be December 8th, a day after Pearl Harbor Day, and a day after the birthday of Mel Kelsell Smith Jr. and Larry Bird.
A day that will live in for me, good doctor.
Oh,
a day that will live in for
living me. In for me. Gentlemen, we're looking at some things here. The Knicks, Nets are both playing well. And you know, two things here. Everybody's talking about the team, and nobody's talking about the coaching job that both of these guys are doing as well. Both guys are doing a heck of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, they're doing a good job, but, you know, again, psychologically, I think it's the teams themselves who are pushing each other. It's almost like a big bad rival in Brooklyn and a big bad rival in Manhattan. And in order so not to fall behind either one, they're fighting to stay alive and be even. You understand what I'm trying to say? They say, okay, you won Knicks, so now we're going to win. Okay, Nets, you won, so now we're going to win. It's always they're like competing with each other to stay afloat. Isn't the record the same? Was it 10-4, both of them? 10-4, something like that? I mean, am I correct?
Yeah, they both have the same record. In fact, the Nets are on a 5-game winning streak now. I think the Knicks were at one time.
That's
like
what
Knicks
I'm saying.
So they're on a 5-game winning streak.
They're looking at
the screen. They're
looking at the screen. Foot.
What's that, Ronnie?
Brooke Lopez is out another game with a sprained foot.
Yeah, I heard that. You know, we haven't said enough about Jerry Stackhouse. Stackhouse hit the shot that won the game in the first ever contest between the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks. And the ironic thing about it, not only did he hit the winning shot, but he hit the winning shot in Brooklyn, and he hit it when the legendary number 42 worn by Jackie Robinson.
Right. But the fact is, I think they're competing with each other. The coaches, yes, are keeping the team tight and training them and encouraging them and being the leader that they're supposed to be, Avery and Johnson. And but the fact of the matter is, I think it's more the team competing with each other. And you know, that's the way I see it. But it's good for
the city. Well, you're right about that, Doug. You're right about that, but you said you touched on something, and Doc, I think that he was right. See, I think he was right. The two coaches for the various teams have done a very, very good job.
Yeah. And
both
and
Avery Johnson
yeah.
and Mike Woodson have done a very, very – both of them have done a yeoman's job in coaching those two teams.
Absolutely. And it's a rivalry, Brooklyn and New York – I mean, Brooklyn and Manhattan. It's a rivalry that it would – they like. I mean, can you imagine these guys meeting in the playoffs or what is it? I don't know the structure. Meeting in the NBA championship? Whew, New York will never be the same, man. I mean,
well,
who's going to walk
down
the parade?
That's what the city needs, Dusty, that kind of juice, Doc. The city needs that kind of juice that Dusty's
exactly.
talking about. That kind of neck good, big game
yeah.
kind of rivalry.
Yeah, the Dodgers and the Yankees a long time ago.
Yeah,
well, you know,
yeah.
Things like that, yeah. And
you know,
this is good for the
yeah.
city. Yeah. My son, who is a Net fan, my God, there isn't a T-shirt he has. He hasn't bought of the Nets. He had season tickets. He said, thank God I don't have to go to Jersey anymore. I can just practically walk to Barclay. You know, and he's delighted. I mean, his whole college rats are all Net fans. You know, but the fact is that there is a healthy atmosphere between the Nets and the Knicks, as opposed to the dying atmosphere between the Mets and the Yankees. There's no interest there anymore, you know. So you got something that keeps us alive, sports-wise.
Well, the Mets have no players. They have no outfielders to speak of. I mean,
well, they have no
that
money. They
gave
it to David Wright.
I mean, anybody that can breathe and walk would be a better outfielder than what they have. He can walk and do gum at the same time. The other would be an outfielder for the New York Mets.
Yeah,
like you said, they gave a ton of dough to one guy, David Wright.
Yeah, $138 million.
To surround him with?
$138 million with an 8-year contract, and that's the highest in Mets history. Beltran got $137.5 million. David Bay $98 and something. I forgot the other guy who also got a big contract, but David Wright. And this is what I'm saying, Doc. Remember I said to you before, they wouldn't give this money to
yes.
Jose Reyes. They practically chased him out of town and built up the franchise around David Wright.
Okay.
I mean, that's not fair. Yeah. And then when they signed him to long-term contract, David Wright, for the same amount of years, 4 years, got $55 million, and Jose Reyes got 23 and change. I mean, come on. And who was the better player? Jose Reyes.
And
the
more exciting
you know,
player. And the
yeah.
more exciting player, Doc.
Yeah, it's a guy that hit a single, turn it into a double. The other guy hits the double, turns it into a triple, or maybe even steals home. Everybody couldn't do
that.
Heck no. But that's the problem here. But, you know, then they don't have any money because they were part of the Maddox scandal. But they found somebody somewhere.
Madoff,
whatever his name is. Guy's still in jail anyway. So by any name possible, he's still an inmate. So
They didn't have a nickel to their name last year. All of a sudden, they found $150 million for
I want to know what you guys have for tonight. Who do you guys are picking for tonight's Trout-Cotto fight? Trout-Cotto, which you guys have going on for tonight?
Okay, you want me to start off on my 20-minute soliloquy?
Go ahead. Go into your analogy.
We got to go.
I'll make it very brief. In fact, Doc, we were talking about it yesterday.
We got 60 seconds.
Yeah.
We got all of what we're going to do. We're going to do where am I at? We should have been here in my thinking. Mic on, lights off. No, I got to get ready for the, get to this press conference today because we got a presser coming up. Hold on, who? 365-2893, who's that?
That's the C-Wings.
Okay, C-Wings, you came back on the way. Okay, you know what, gentlemen, hang on a minute. Rooney, give us a quick move in and out, and we'll do a few minutes, mic on, mic off. Come on, Rooney.
All right, Doctor. The Sports In Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. We will now give you Sports In Depth
extra. The sports straw that serves the drink.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Saturday short. They're all here. Let's go. Yeah, lady, he had to get away. But Malco Self-Simmons Jr. is still here. And Malco Self-Simmons until the ball right now. Ain't good. Because we're going to do. Mic on, lights up. Rooney, bring us in.
Our Sports in Depth Nation is here. Our Sports in Depth panel is here. We will now give you Sports in Depth Extra. My son, lights off. I'm Mel Smith Jr., and the straw that stirs the drink is here. The great Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Through others, I am somebody.
If I'm great,
it's because of the great people behind me. And they, therefore, greater than I am. Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Dusty X. Love that name, baby. I'm going to start calling him X pretty soon, and I'll be even shorter. The Cisco Kid, Cincinnati Seaweeds, Lady A. We will continue. Quick highlights, as we know, the sad Belcher, as the story, committed suicide after killing his girlfriend. We're talking about Trout against Cotto tonight at MSG. RG3 and the surging Washington Redskins against the Super Bowl. New York Giants, Eli Manning surpassing Phil Simms as the all-time touchdown thrower in the history of the New York Giants. Mariano Rivera celebrated birthday on the 29th, and he is now going to be back with a $10 million contract. Him and Andy Pettit come back next year. Happy birthday to my son. None other than Justin Ricardo St. Clair. He celebrates a birthday today, and we're going to say early birthday wishes early to Larry Bird and Mel Cosell Smith Jr. And also, we'll let you.
Thank you.
Oh, come on, Winnie, baby. Hey, baby, you know, when the president. Hey, a Christmas present
thank
early.
You all. Thank you.
Also, as we talked about the fact that David Wright signed the biggest contract in the history of the New York Mets, so he's back in the fold for a long, long time. And with that, we'll get back to the discussion we were having. We're going to touch it off one more time. Well, I think Dusty, you left off, so let's see, pick it up right one more time. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Trust in God Radio Network, Sports in Depth with the show. It's Saturday Sports Shorts. We'll be with you another few minutes, and here he is riding up. Finally got a horse. He got a mule.
That's
the
okay, very briefly, after researching and putting X's and O's together, I'm going with Miguel Cotto. I'm not saying that Miguel Cotto picked Justin Trout because he was in easy pickings and all that. Miguel Cotto's focused on that crown, that fifth crown. He did talk about the fact that he's thinking about retiring and he wants to be home, a better husband and a better father and all that. He has a few more fights going, but he wants to have another crown. He knows that he's up against a taller dude, southpaw, undefeated. That guy has a pretty good punch. Perhaps stronger, but what people don't fail to compare was the wars that Miguel Cotto has had in the 40 fights of his and guys that Austin Trout never fought. So the idea, and he said, I'm versatile, I can box and I can punch. Can Miguel Cotto take him into deep waters because of his experience? I believe so. I don't doubt what Harold Weston said, that he could cut Cotto and take him deep and knock him out. Yeah, because Cotto cuts. But if you forget Cotto and the times that he's been cut, especially Joshua Clady has fought through the cuts and all adversity and has come through. He revenged the Margarito fight. He wanted to go after Pacquiao. Pacquiao wanted the a catch weight. He said no, and he went and sat down with his partner De La Hoya and picked from column A and column B, simply because I believe wholeheartedly, and I'll finish, that he wants that fifth crown, because he did mention in golpe a golpe that he was thinking about maybe I qualify for the Hall of Fame. That's it, my fellas. I believe I'll be surprised if he loses, but then not disappointed, because
Austin Trout is an unknown factor that could come out and become better than Cotto. Okay?
Okay.
Next. Next. Your witness, counselor.
Come on, Cisco. Come on, Cisco.
All right. You know, after after putting together my X's and O's.
There you go.
I don't think he's going after another title because he needs another title, and this is another. He was already junior welterweight. I mean, junior middleweight. Champion. So I don't think that's the case. I think that what's going on here is to make a fight against Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, you're right.
He needs a strap to make it to make it a little bit more feasible. To make it a fight money-wise, that would sell. You know, junior middleweight champion Cotto versus the junior middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez.
You're on the nose.
I was in Vegas for Canelo versus Lopez, and he was out there at his weigh-in, and this time it was the reverse. Canelo Alvarez was out here for Cotto's weigh-in against against Trout.
Right.
So, you know, I think that another big mega payday is there, and Cotto pretty much realizes that his days as a top elite fighter is coming to a close. You know, he sees himself struggling at 154, and not being the same effective fighter he was in the past. So he knows his days are numbered. As far as Trout is concerned, nothing special about Trout. Nothing even coming up that people could say, look back at a certain fight and go, oh wow, you know, did you see that Trout fight? You know, he's not the type. I don't think he's a southpaw. Yes. Is he a very strong southpaw? That's the big question mark. I mean, to beat Cotto, you have to put pressure, you know, like my man Teddy Atlas says, pressure bust pipes. And if you look at Cotto's losses, he's lost fights because of pressure. And is Trout that kind of pressure fighter? I doubt it. Claudie gave Cotto problems because, one, he cut Cotto early in the fight with a headbutt. And, you know, Claudie can be a little dirty. And is Trout the dirty fighter? Not, you know, I never seen that side of him either. Claudie also put a lot of pressure on Cotto, you know, with his high guard and just kept coming forward and made Cotto fight. Is Trout that kind of fighter? I've never seen that side of him. So I think experience, I think that the only thing that Trout has going in his favor is that he's the bigger guy, you know, which Cotto has fought bigger fighters before. He's a southpaw. Cotto's a converted southpaw that leads with his strong hand. You know, his left hand is his strong hand. That's why he has a great left hook. And I just think that the event, you know, he fought in other people's background, but this is a different kind of event when it comes to Cotto. Cotto's undefeated here in New York. I just don't see him losing a decision, even if it's close. But I just think that Cotto wins by either split decision. And I'd be shocked if it's a unanimous decision. I think that Cotto still has something left in him. I mean, because, you know, Trout is still undefeated. And he'll prove something by beating, you know, an undefeated fighter in Austin Trout.
Right.
Yeah. I have to agree with you and Dusty on a lot of X's and O's. And Cotto, you know, he is 32. He seems to be in still good shape. He may not have that punching power like he used to, but.
Right.
You look at the home turf that he's fighting on for one is advantageous. He's coming into Madison Square Garden 7-0. I mean that means a lot. 8-0, yes. 7-0. This would be
no, it's 8-0. I think you have it right.
8-0 and 9-0 because he fought in Yankee Stadium. Remember?
Well, 9-0 in New York, but
he's 7-0 in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
because he fought there, and you know he's like you said up at the weight class he's at now, struggling a little bit. But you look at the people that he did fight, you know, Sugar Shane, Jennings, Claudie was probably one of the toughest fights he had in Madison Square Garden. I mean, like you said, he cut him early. Cotto was not too effective on him throughout the fight. A lot of the shots that he gave Claudie didn't even budge. So I don't know if that was from the early cuts or this guy was just a better overall conditioned fighter at that time. But I still give him to win is going to go the distance, and I see him winning the unanimous decision.
Right.
I see him. After going after Margarito, he's on fire.
Right.
Yeah, I think that Cotto still, he's not the same fight, of course. You know, we all know that. He doesn't take punishment the same. He swells up a little faster than he did in the past.
Right.
And we'll see that he's skill-wise, I think he's still there. He's still, like you said, he still stays in pretty good shape. He's not a guy that he's always a focused fighter. He comes in these fights
right.
in tip-top shape. There's no way he's going to come into this fight out of shape. We never seen that from Cotto.
No.
So,
you know,
it would take a hell of a fighter
you,
like a Floyd Mayweather or Pacquiao to beat Cotto right
to
at the
knock
moment.
Him out, too.
Right.
To knock him out. Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Are you guys gauging Miguel Cotto by the good performance? That's all I give it. Good performance against Mayweather. And tough guys like that and his comeback against Margarito, you know, to show that he still has...
Yeah, but definitely in the Margarito fight, and you said that too, we noticed that he got tired. You know,
yeah,
in
the ninth round. I'll never know that tenth round. Right, you're right, Doc.
He got tired. But okay, Malcolm South Smith, you're sitting there, everybody's babbling, let's have it.
Hey guys, I gotta get out of here.
Okay.
All right,
Doc. Okay, Tenfold, I'll catch you later.
All right, guys.
Well, Doc, coming from the world of pro wrestling, I honestly have to tell you, I know more about Stone Cold Steve Austin than I do about Austin Trout, to be honest with you.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, honestly speaking, with the panel, Doc, I've never seen this guy fight. I didn't know much about him until this upcoming fight with Cotto. All I know is that he's a tall, undefeated junior middleweight champion. I will say this, there is time for some fresh, relatively new blood, in the sport. I mean, we know about the Cotto's and what have you. As I said, I can't really predict this fight because I don't know much about Austin Trout. I hope that it's a good fight. I hope this guy makes a good representation so, you know, we can have someone else, you know, on the scene that's truly worthy of discussion. I think Canelo Alvarez is going to be the up-and-coming star in this division and, the next few years. I think that's going to be the up-and-coming star. He's strong. He's tough. Seems to have a decent chin. I'd like to see him against better competition.
With that being said, Rooney, tell us goodbye.
The Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The Straw That Stirs the Drink's been here. And that's been the great Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, gang. Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today as if you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others? And the rich you pay for your space here on earth. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Son of Man came to not be served. We'll be back tomorrow with this late night sports wrap up. And the man who's going to take us out of here now with something to say, the one and only, the late, the incomparable, Marvin Gaye.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
The bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
Jesus.
Wherever it went.